You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Over the many months of a long 82-game NBA regular season, narratives can change, but that doesn't mean we don't still hold teams and organizations accountable for their goals and aspirations that they publicly set for themselves at the start of the season. We're going to talk a lot about the Kings' goals all the way back in August and September time, and why shifting the focus and narrative back to player development first is not acceptable on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you. You are absolutely in the right place, and I appreciate you listening and being a part of the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Believe it or not, I'm approaching 3 years of hosting this podcast since I took it over from Jason Ross. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for just over the last 5 years, actually approaching my sixth year in professional sports radio in Sacramento. And I've also covered the Kings now. This is my sixth season covering the team, both as a radio host and reporter. But I always mention, for those of you that are new, I am just like you. I grew up a diehard fan of this Sacramento Kings squad. I've been a part of the Sacramento community for most of my life. Since I was 6 years old, I've called the Sacramento Kings my favorite NBA team, but more importantly, my favorite professional sports franchise. Of course, we know Sacramento for right now. It's changing soon, but Sacramento is a one major sports town, with the Sacramento Republic FC becoming an MLS soccer club here in the next couple of years. That will change a little bit, but the Kings are always king in Sactown, and I grew up accepting that, knowing that, and falling in love with that, just like many of you listening to this podcast. So I appreciate the passion, the commitment, the patience of this franchise's fan base, some of the most loyal fans on the planet, maybe the most loyal fans on the planet. You'll hear players talk about that consistently, even after they have left the Kings organization and after they have retired, many of whom remain in Sacramento or keep homes in Sacramento because they fall in love with this community like I have. And so being able to host this podcast and be a voice for this community and in this community about our favorite sports team, about the Sacramento Kings organization and franchise, even if they haven't made the playoffs now in approaching 14 years, it really is a blessing for me, and I would not trade it for the world or for any other organization. You know, for those of you that have listened for a long time to this podcast, that I tend to lean more on the optimistic side of things. And while some people would say that I am a shill at times or an apologist for this organization, I do tend to side with them and defend them more than I side against them. A lot of that has to do with just me being a fan of the organization, a fan of the team, my affection for them that I've developed throughout the years. But also, I don't say anything that I don't 100% authentically believe. The best example I can give of that is a couple years ago when, actually the beginning of last season, when I thought the Kings would win more games than they ever did with DeMarcus Cousins, which was 32 games. I was laughed at by many of my coworkers in Sacramento radio. Turns out they did do that. They won 39 games last season. That was something that I genuinely believed in. I don't just bring that up to say, haha, look, I was right, because I'm also the same guy that said that I thought that this team was absolutely going to be competing for the playoffs all year long and would be close to, if not a 500 team. And right now, that is not looking too hot, or that prediction is not looking too good. I'm still rooting for it. And yes, technically, mathematically, it is still possible. But the Kings right now at 15-25, 10 games under 500, they have a lot of issues. And suddenly now, the narrative by fans and even those around the organization is starting to change a little bit. Now, I tweeted this out this morning, and if you want to follow me on Twitter and on social media, please do so. It's a great area to get in touch with me, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. If you're not on social media but you still want to get in touch with me, you can email me at any time as well, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's saclocalmedia.com. Great place to get directly in contact with me, and we have conversations there. I try to respond to every message and every email that I get, so please do that. But on my Twitter this morning, I tweeted out that I recognize I have my own coping mechanisms with this team. You have to have coping mechanisms if you've been a Sacramento Kings fan throughout this entire near 14-year playoff drought. My coping mechanism has been positivity and optimism and hope and enjoyment of the little things. Like, for example, the Kings tonight are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. If they win, Luka Doncic and the Mavericks will be 0-5 against the Kings since drafting Luka at the start of last season. That's something that's small, overall meaningless in the grand scheme of things, but it's a little positive that I attach myself to, and that's my coping mechanism, is paying attention to things like that. I recognize now that fans are starting to change or adapt their coping mechanism for this season, a season that had a lot of hope for Kings fans, at least heading into it. They're starting to readjust their expectations and hopes based off of the player development angle, which is something that we focused on heavily, not necessarily last season, but the season before. De'Aaron Fox's rookie season, when DeMarcus Cousins, the year after DeMarcus Cousins was traded, we completely shifted our focus as a franchise, as an organization, as a community here in Sacramento to restarting in a way, moving on from maybe the greatest player statistically that the Kings have ever had, even though he never won more than 32 games here in Sacramento. And we can debate all day long whether or not that's his fault. That's not the purpose of this conversation. But the Kings, after moving on from DeMarcus Cousins, were essentially hitting a quick reset button. Now, they got luck in the lottery, moved up to number 5, took De'Aaron Fox, were trying to focus on developing, getting better. They got lucky again, ended up with Marvin Bagley. Last season, they win 39 games, so the narrative has changed from, regardless of wins or losses, just watch the young players develop and get better on a nightly basis and show that they are capable of being all-stars and leaders of a future championship team. That changed quickly. Maybe too quickly, thanks to a 39-win season last year, to what Vlade Divac and the Kings organization said when they hired Luke Walton, which is taking the next step and making the playoffs immediately. Before I continue, I just want to say this. If you are a Kings fan right now whose outlook for the rest of the season can basically be summed up as, I don't care if we win or we lose, I just want to see De'Aaron Fox continue to play well. I want to see Marvin Bagley prove that he is a number 2 overall pick. And I want to see Buddy Hield play at the high level that his $90-plus million contract that he just signed warrants. If those are your feelings for the remainder of this season, I don't blame you at all. I don't look down on you at all. I'm not suggesting that that is not acceptable, because it 100% is. That is your coping mechanism. If that's how you want to look through the remainder of the season, if that's how you deal with the disappointment of this team very likely not making the playoffs, at least as of right now, although things can change quickly with the state of the Western Conference, but if that's what you are for the remainder of this year and the Kings miss the playoffs, but that carries you through, good on you. I don't shame you at all for that. That is fantastic. I accept that from you. I cannot, though, accept that from the Sacramento Kings organization. I could not accept Luke Walton or any of the players or Vlade Divac himself taking the podium, stepping in front of a microphone and saying, you know what, this year has really always been about continuing to develop and make progress and become a team that we can be proud of in the future. That is not the case. That has not been the case throughout this entire season. And to say so is essentially brushing your problems under the rug and trying to hide your failed goals from your fans and from the rest of the NBA, who is a lot smarter than that. The Kings, when they fired Dave Yeager and hired Luke Walton, Vlade Divac took the podium and he said on multiple occasions, it was 2 press conferences, it was the first one right after Vlade signed his extension and fired Yeager, and the second one was at Luke Walton's introductory press conference, he said the same thing twice. He said, Jaeger did a great job. We're very thankful for what he did to help this team develop. But we think Luke Walton is the right coach to help us take the next step, which obviously the next step can only be one thing for this Kings team. And Vlade said the word. He said the P word. Playoffs. The goal for this year for the Kings organization always was and should still be, even if the Kings become 25 games under 500 and are the worst team in the Western Conference, the goal for this year always has been and always should be making the playoffs. Now, the narrative of the season can change. It can go from we expect to be a playoff team to we just didn't live up to expectations. We're disappointed with how the season went, and we are going to try and change some things and get rid of contracts or players that maybe didn't work. The Dwayne Dedman signing is a great example of that. If Vlade and the Kings were to come out, let's say 2 months from now or a month from now, and say, look, we're too far out of the race. The trade deadline is here, or the trade deadline just passed. We made these moves, and we are going in the direction that for the remainder of this season, playoffs are extremely unlikely, so we are going to focus now on continuing the development of these players and putting ourselves in the best position going into this summer to hopefully turn our team around and then compete in the 2020-2021 season. If they said that, while openly admitting to the failure of their goal, which was making the playoffs this season, I can accept that. I'll be disappointed, but I can accept that. I cannot accept the pulling the veil over the eyes statement that is, oh, the Kings have always just been trying to develop talent and the playoffs are a plus. The playoffs are a bonus. The playoffs would have been the cherry on top of the sundae. No, that was the narrative last season. Last season, it was about trying to develop and finding an identity and, oh, look at that, we're competing for a playoff spot. Even if we get swept in the first round, hey, we made it. It was fun. It was a great season. La-di-da-di-da. That's not this season. That's not the bed that, or maybe even the grave, to use a different analogy, a darker analogy, that's not the grave that Vlade and Walton and the Kings dug for themselves this year. They set their expectations clear from the very beginning. And I'm not just talking about the players. The players at every media day, every year, always say that playoffs are the goal. I mean, we've every single year over this playoff drought, from the horrible 17-win teams that the Kings have had to the 39-win team last year and the team this year, they've all said playoffs are the goal. I think we have enough talent to make the playoffs. Obviously, as soon as the regular season starts, reality sets in a little bit. But it's not the players saying it. I expect that from the players. It was the coaching staff, and more importantly, it was the front office that were saying that it is playoffs first and foremost always for this season. And not achieving that is a failure. And as of right now, honestly, and this is coming from a big Sacramento Kings optimist, the Kings are failing. This season, as of now, has been a failure. Now, of course, there have been unfortunate circumstances. The injuries jump right to the top of the list. So the deck has been stacked against the Kings a little bit in that way. But also the Kings haven't helped themselves. The Kings have regressed in a lot of areas that have to do with the changing of a complete coaching staff and the reevaluation of the team's identity. In that reevaluation, I'd say the Kings have lost their identity. And trying to find it in the middle of a season where at the beginning you said you were a playoff team, that ain't it, Chief. That's not going to get the job done. Now, I haven't heard anybody say from the organization that player development is the goal first and foremost, but I am concerned that the whispers of that narrative are beginning. And I want to make sure Locked On Kings listeners and listeners to me on the radio or those who follow me on social media understand that accountability is a weird word with this organization and with any organization because the fans only have so much power and our voices are only so loud. I mean, we do have our social media platforms and things like that to share our opinion. And yes, players and coaches and front offices do read that from time to time. There's only so much a fan base can do to hold an organization accountable. But a fan base also doesn't have to be blinded by or be fooled by the change of a narrative. The expectation for the fans this season from October to now to the end of this season should always be playoffs first. And if that goal is not met, it is a failure of a season. And to wrap things up on this topic, the last thing I want to say is that even if it does become a failure of a season, even if the Kings do not make the playoffs, I don't think it's the right move to fire Vlade Divac and Luke Walton. Now, a lot can change from now until then to change my opinion, but this organization has struggled with stability with their front office and their coaching staff for over a decade. I don't want the instability problems to continue. Want to pause real quick and take the time here on the Locked On Kings podcast to thank one of our sponsors. That is Echelon. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you're not 100% satisfied, they will give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA and learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it is your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA, echelonfit.com/LONBA. As I mentioned earlier, a little bit more on the line for tonight's Kings and Mavericks game than just a win and a loss. We're talking about a little bit of Sacramento pride as one thing that we have over the Dallas Mavericks, who clearly have won the lottery with their pick of Luka Doncic in the 2018 NBA draft. The one thing that we have over them in that sense is that since drafting Luka Doncic, the Mavericks have yet to beat the Sacramento Kings. They're 0-4 against the Kings in three meetings last season and one earlier this season. Now, three out of those four games have been in Dallas. Last season, the Kings beat the Mavericks in Sacramento, a game where Luka Doncic, quite honestly, didn't look that great. Now, he had a solid game, as did Tim Hardaway Jr. against the Kings earlier this year. The Mavs battled back from a pretty big deficit to make it a close game at the end, but the Kings would end up winning. And we know with the Kings sitting at 15-25 right now, they need to start getting some more wins under their belt to start working their way back into the playoff conversation. And more importantly, just start getting a little mojo for this roster and for this team who has been on so many ups and downs already in this young season. They need some consistency in the win column. I don't know about you. I am able to watch Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks play. I'm able to see Luka Doncic average almost a triple-double, him put up 30-plus points on almost a nightly basis, and I'm able to just enjoy that as a basketball fan. It doesn't hurt me as bad as I know it hurts some Kings fans that Luka is doing that in a Mavericks jersey instead of in a Kings jersey when it seemed so obvious that he was the right pick at not just number two overall, even at number one overall. The Phoenix Suns passed on him to draft DeAndre Ayton. So there are going to be some in the Golden One Center tonight and some watching this game at home or listening on the radio that are going to cringe every time Luka touches the ball, let alone makes a basket. But I'd be lying to you if I said that the basketball fan in me doesn't want to see a superstar Luka Doncic performance tonight, because I have yet to see that in person and with my very eyes. Now, the Kings have two more meetings beyond tonight with the Mavericks, one in Dallas and one in Sacramento. So you have to believe at some point this season that Kings' undefeated streak against Luka Doncic will come to an end. Hopefully it's not tonight. But I just want to see a good basketball game. Again, the Mavericks relied on Tim Hardaway Jr. to have an explosive game from three-point range in Dallas to close the gap and make that final score respectable when the Kings beat them earlier this season. I like Tim Hardaway Jr. a lot. I don't think he's going to be able to repeat that performance tonight. And if it takes him repeating that performance for the Mavericks to win, then the Kings, honestly, might be in a pretty good spot. Unfortunately for the Kings, Bogdan Bogdanović once again will not be available to play, although he did participate in full practice today, which is good. By his own account, he says that he is feeling good and he is getting very close to a return, but still dealing with those ankle injuries, so he will not be available for the Kings. Of course, Rashawn Holmes is also out tonight. Have not seen the official injury report yet for this game. We also expect Marvin Bagley, who is playing, we expect him to still be on a bit of a minutes restriction, although that may change as the game goes on, especially if the game is close. I just have a few wish list items for tonight's game, and let me know what your wish list items are beyond simply just a Kings win tonight, although that is certainly at the top of all of our wish lists. Send them to me at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Wish list items tonight are Bagley continuing to build on a good overall offensive and defensive performance, but set more impactful screens tonight. On yesterday's podcast, we talked a lot about the really bad screens that Marvin Bagley sets. I want to see all-star De'Aaron Fox continue into this game as he has been on one, playing really, really well over the last four, five, six games here. I want to see that continue. And I want to see a more overall team offensive performance. Don't just rely on De'Aaron Fox and insert player here. Last game it was Nemanja Bjelica, but insert player here to lead you to victory. I want to see a good game out of Buddy Hield. I want to see a acceptable game out of the players off your bench. That includes Trevor Ariza. That includes Marvin Bagley. I assume he's coming off the bench tonight. That includes Corey Joseph. I want to see Harrison Barnes have a decent offensive performance tonight. The Kings just needed a little bit more of a lift from the rest of their team, or even one or two guys, to win that game against the Orlando Magic on Monday night. So final piece of my wish list for this game is just a better overall team offensive scoring performance from guys off of the bench and the supporters in that starting five. Again, send me your wish list for this evening at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I wanted to end with this as well because I saw a lot of people talking about them last night. The Memphis Grizzlies, led by rookie sensation Ja Morant, have won five straight, and they are in sole possession of the eighth seed. I know that has sparked a doom and gloom reaction from some Kings fans because they feel like a team that has hit the reset button after the Kings hit the reset button for like the 12th time is now jumping ahead of the Kings in terms of becoming a playoff team and getting back to being successful. How many teams have started their rebuild after the Kings and then leapfrogged them and become good before the Kings? It's been, I'd say, almost every team in the NBA at this point, if not pretty close. So naturally, Kings fans see the Grizzlies playing really, really well, even the Mavericks too to some extent, but the Grizzlies playing really, really well, and they think another team, another young team that has passed the Kings up. I just want to remind you that a couple of weeks ago, the Grizzlies were in the exact same position as the Kings are right now. Not necessarily 10 games under 500, but sitting in the 13th, 14th spot in the Western Conference. They go on a 5-game win streak. They've won the majority of their games as of late. And suddenly they're in sole possession of the 8th seed. That's how close this race still is. So if blind optimist Matt can share anything with you to end this podcast today, it's remember, if the Kings go on a run, if they figure things out quickly here and go on a nice stretch of 5, 6, 7, 8 games, they win 7 of 8, or they win 5 of 7, or they win 6 of 7. If they can find a way to do that, I'm not predicting it, but if they can find a way to do that at some point here in the near future, they can get right back into the playoff picture. And we'll be feeling a whole heck of a lot better about the Kings than we do right now. Personally, I would not trade the Kings' core of Fox and Bagley and Buddy Hield for the exciting Grizzlies' core of Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Clark. I wouldn't do it. Some people would. I would not do it. I like what the Kings have going for them. I think they have the talent still to be successful this season. They just have to figure some things out. If you're coming to the Kings game tonight, let me know. Would love to see you out there. I'll be sitting at the top of section 105, as I always am, with the rest of the media. So come by, scream my name. Hopefully I'll turn around and wave at you. Or maybe even come by and spend a couple minutes with you and have a conversation. I'd love to do that in person. And thank you for listening to this podcast. If you don't know what I look like, I'm a tall, skinny, white guy with big ears. You can find me easily, pick me out of a crowd, and come up and say hi if you see me and recognize me. I would love to chat with you, so please do that. I never take that for granted. Hopefully, wherever you watch this game, you enjoy it. Hopefully, it will be an enjoyable result for the Sacramento Kings tonight. And regardless, we will be back tomorrow to recap this game, plus a whole lot more here on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you have an opportunity to leave a rating and review of this podcast, please do that as well. Best place to do that is on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. But wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's a comment section or a review section, please leave your review. Even if it's constructive criticism, it helps us out. It helps us grow as a network, and it helps me grow as a podcast host specifically. So I would really appreciate that. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.